thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. And let's pray. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 1 says, Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. And, of course, we've seen some things like that. But look at Psalms chapter 73. Keep that thought there. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. Many times we look at those that are in the world and those that the world calls successful, and we idolize them because of what the world calls successful. Or we try to follow their pattern because that's how they became successful. Or we try to do what they did because that's how they got money and that's how they've got power, that's how they got influence, was during certain ways. And many times we follow those ways. And even if it's wicked, even if it's ungodly, we follow it many times. And what we need to do is realize we can't look to the ungodly and envy them and say, look, I want the money that they've got, and here's what they did to get it. For instance, look in Psalms chapter 73. Just follow along with me as I read this. It says, Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Now notice, here's what he said. He says, God is good to Israel, even to such as a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. They're nigh well slipped. He said, I was going down. I had my eye. Now I know God's good to Israel. I know God's good to those that have a clean heart. That's what he was saying. But I was looking at the envious, and it seems like God was good to them too. I was looking at the wicked. It looked like God was good to them too. I began to envy the wicked and their prosperity. And I looked at my life, and it seems like I was trying to do what was right. And it looked like they were having a better life than I was having. It looked like I had troubles, and everything was going good for them. And I began to envy the wicked. That's what the psalmist is saying here. He says, I almost slipped. I almost fell. I had my eyes on the wicked and their prosperity instead of trusting the Lord like I should have been. And I almost gave up. I almost turned back. I almost went their way. I almost gave up my standards. I almost gave up my way of living. I almost gave up my trust in the Lord. I almost did it. Look in verse 4. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They've got everything they could ever ask for. They've got prosperity. They've got no problems, looks like. They've got everything. Verse 8, They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out of them. And they say, How doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. He's saying this group, they don't even look to God. They don't look at God's ways. And they're prospering. Everything's going good for them. And they say, Who is the God? Who is this God? What are his ways? They don't even believe in God or believe in his ways. And yet everything's going good for them. He said, I had my eyes on that, and I almost turned back. I almost said it's not worth it. I almost said it's trying to live right and trying to do good is not worth it because they're living wickedly and they're better off than I am. Look in verse 13. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. He said, here I, every day, I'm confessing my sins. I'm trying to live right, and I'm the one that's getting plagued. I'm going through troubles, and I'm trying to live right. They're living ungodly, and they don't have any troubles. Now, by the way, that's many times the way it seems, doesn't it? As you look at the wicked, many times it looks like God's letting them get by with it. Looks like they've got the easy life. Looks like they don't have any problems. Looks like, man, if we just give up this kind of life, we'd have it made going that way. And many, especially young folks, by the way, that's primarily what the book of Proverbs is talking about, many young folks will look at that and say, it just doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem even. I thought God, the wicked were supposed to have it horrible and the godly were supposed to have it good. And it looks just like the opposite. It looks like the godly are having trouble and the ungodly have everything going for them. And that's what he thought until, look at the next verse, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. And that's the key right there. I thought that until I got in church. And when I got into church, heard the preaching of the Word of God, then I understood their end. It may look good now, young folks, but don't live for today. Live for the end. May look like they're on top of the world right now, but don't live for today. Live for the end. It may look like they have prosperity now. By the way, you don't know what they're going through. May look like everything's good. May look like the Hollywood crowd's got it good. If they had it so good, they wouldn't be swapping wives every couple years. If they had it so good. They're never happy. Money isn't the answer. Fame isn't the answer. Prosperity isn't the answer. Look at the end. Look at the end result. Nobody, by the way, there's nobody. There's not a single bum on Skid Row that when he took his first drink didn't think he could handle it. Not a single one. Not a single one of them said, it'll never happen to me. Every one of them said, it'll never happen to me. Every bum on Skid Row did not set out to be a drunk. Every alcoholic and every drunk did not set out to be a drunk. Every one of them, when they started drinking, said, it'll never happen to me. Every person that's ever gone into adultery started out by saying, it'll never happen to me. Every person that's fallen into sin, and every person that's, they start out with marijuana, they say, I'll never be freebasing cocaine. Never will. It'll never happen to me. I can handle it. Every one of them say that. Nobody sets out to be a freebaser. Nobody sets out and says, that's my desire in life, to be hooked on the stuff and ruin my life. Nobody. But they don't understand the end. Where are you going to understand the end? In the sanctuary, in the church. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me with my right hand, by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart, and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. The psalmist said, my steps were almost gone. I had my eyes on the wicked and their prosperity. And I said, it's just not worth it. I try, and I'm trying to keep my life clean and pure and trying to do what's right, trying to get close to the Lord. And now I've got problems, and I look at the wicked, and they've got it better than I've got it. Until I got into the sanctuary, I heard God's word, and then I saw their end. And when I saw what the end was, I was glad that I was trusting the Lord. Who have I in heaven but thee? And who have I on the earth but thee? Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Trust Him. It doesn't always look good down here. It doesn't always look good. But you just keep your eyes on Jesus. That's what, if every person would just learn that right there, keep your eyes on Jesus. Men will fail you. I'm telling you that. Men will fail you. You keep your eyes on Jesus. The prosperity of the wicked may confuse you, but keep your eyes on Jesus. Just trust the Lord. And if you just keep trusting Him and say, Lord, you're all I've got, and I'm just going to trust you. It doesn't look good now, but I know when the end comes, I'll be glad I trusted you. Just trust the Lord. I have simply written down there, don't make friends of the unsaved. It says, don't even desire to be with them. Don't make friends of the unsaved. And And that's one of the lessons that's hard for young Christians when they get saved. You just can't hang around the old crowd. You just can't do it. That's why it says, when I got into the sanctuary, then I knew their end. Get around church. Hang around the church crowd. Hang around those that are saved. Make new friends. And you can't hang around the unsaved. You can't make them your friends. You'll envy them, and it'll look like things are going good for them. Just be careful. Don't make friends with the unsaved. Look back in Proverbs chapter 24. Let's look down at verse 5. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. And tying with that down in verse 10, it says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. So it says, a wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. Well, simply do this. Get some inner strength, or develop inner strength. Develop some inner strength. We have so many Christians today that go from one thing to the next and go from this to that. We need to have some inner strength. We're just going to stick by what is true and what is right, and not by what the fads are, not by what the nation says, but what is right to do. And just have some inner strength. Develop some inner strength. By the way, here's one of the ways you develop inner strength. Verse 10 says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. You know the only way you're going to get strength? You know how you build up your muscles? You got to push them. If you don't ever push your muscles beyond what they're doing right now, they will never strengthen. Matter of fact, your muscles will atrophy. That means they will lessen. You have to push those muscles to strengthen them. They got to go beyond what they are doing right now in order to build up your strength. That's the same thing you got to do spiritually. You know the only way you can get strength spiritually? Go through adversity. It's the only way you can do it. The way to get strength is through adversity. God knows that, and many times God will put adversity in our life to mature us, to strengthen us as Christians. He'll put adversity down there to find out what we're made out of. God never does it to get us to turn back. God always does it to strengthen us. What happens is some people do turn back because they didn't have that inner strength, the strength that we need. Where do you get that strength? Well, many times God needs to get us stronger, and God can give us that strength when we are weak than when we are strong. Through adversity is when we've got to depend on the Lord the most. And that's where we're going to get our strength, is from Him, from wisdom, from God. That's where we get our strength. Many folks turn back in adversity. Let me give you an example. Look over in Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, a very familiar passage of Scripture, verse 24 says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now this is picturing two different men, two different people. And these two different people, one of them fell, and one of them did not fall. One fell at adversity, and one did not fall in adversity. What was the difference between the one that fell and the one that didn't fail? Let's look at it, and let's study it, and let's find out what the difference is. First of all, both of these men are pictured as building a house. Right? In those verses, we have two men, one who fell, one who did not fall. Both of them are pictured as building a house. So one could say, well, one had a stronger house than the other had. One had better material in his house than the other had. One had better structure in his house than the other one had. And that's why this house stood, and that's why this house fell. Let's see if there's any difference in the house. It says, verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house. Verse 26 says, likened unto a foolish man which built his house. doesn't say there's anything different in the house. It didn't say that the wise man built a better house than the foolish man, does it? Doesn't say anything about it. The foolish man's house could have been exactly the same as a wise man's house. Could have been, from the outside, you couldn't tell any difference. From looking at the house of the wise man and the foolish man, they both looked alike. Matter of fact, they could have used the same, they could have gone to the same lumber yard. They could have used the same lumber. They could have built them exactly alike. The difference was not in the house. The wise man and the foolish man could have had the exact same house. That was not the difference. You say the difference was in the storm. The wise man didn't have to go through the same storm the foolish man went through. This man had to go through greater trials than this man went through, and that's why this man failed and this man did not. This man had to go, you don't understand, preacher, what I'm going through. Let's look to see if the storm was different. It says, verse 25, and this is the wise man, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. In verse 27, this is the foolish man's house. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. Is there any difference in the storm? Yes or no? No, there's not. Is there any difference in the house? No. House is still the same. You can't tell the difference many times between the wise man and the foolish man. The house looks just exactly alike. Looks just the same. Can't tell any difference in them. Could have used the same material. Could have used everything. What was the difference in the storm? That man failed. That man's not serving God anymore because of the storm that he went through. The difference is not the storm on whether you stand or not. That is not the difference. Whether you went through a bigger storm than somebody else went through is not the difference. The storm was exactly the same in the house that fell as it was in the house that didn't fall. There was no difference in the storm. You say, I know what the difference is. The foolish man didn't hear the word of God, but the wise man did. The foolish man didn't hear God's word, but the wise man did hear God's word. Let's find out. Verse 24 says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. Did the wise man hear the word of God? Yes or no? Yes, he did. Let's look in verse 26, see if the foolish man heard it. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine. Did the foolish man hear the word of God? Yes or no? Yes, he did. They didn't hear anything different. Matter of fact, they both went to the same church. They heard the same preaching. There wasn't a thing different in what they heard. Not a thing different. Was there any difference in the house? Yes or no? No, there was not. You couldn't tell the difference, could you? Same house. Was there any difference in the storm? Yes or no? No, there was not. They both went through storms. They were equal storms. They both had to go through storms that could have blown the house down. Both of them did. Was there any difference in what they heard? Yes or no? No, there was not. They both heard the word of God. They both sat in the same church, heard the same preaching. There was no difference in what they heard. What was the difference then? Let's look in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Verse 26. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. That's the only difference you find in those two men. The only difference in the one that stood and the one that did not stand, the only difference is the one that stood did what he heard, and the one that fell didn't do what he heard. That was the only difference. The difference is not the life that they built. That was not the difference. The difference was not the storm that hit them. That was not the difference. The difference was not the trials they went through. The difference was not the adversity that they had. The difference was not what they heard. They both heard the word of God. They both could have sat in the same church. They both could have, matter of fact, they both, God, Jesus is showing them, this is what followed his Sermon on the Mount. This is his invitation that he gave to the Sermon on the Mount. They both, both these men he's talking about, both heard the same principles that Jesus preached in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. They both heard the exact same message that Jesus preached. You know what the difference was? One of them, when he got done hearing what Jesus said, went out and did it. And one of them, after he got done hearing what Jesus said, didn't do it. He said, well, I'll do it someday. You may fall before then. Well, I know it's right, and I know what Jesus said is right, And someday I'm going to do what he says. Yeah, and someday it might be too late to do what he says. Your house may cave in by then. The storm, you're going to go through storms. There was no difference. The wise man and the foolish man both went through storms. How come the wise man kept on going? Because when he heard the word, he did it. You're going to go through some storms. Let me just tell you that right now. You're going to go through some storms. The difference of how you act and what you do after the storm is what you're doing with the word of God when you hear it. That's the big difference. You're going to have to go through some storms that'll knock the house down. I'll guarantee you. It can knock your house down. And what, whether you're going to stand or not is dependent on whether you're doing what the Word of God says or not. Some say, well, it's not for today. Yes, it is for today. You still do what God says. Jesus didn't say here, for those that are hearing me today, do it, and those that are born in the 1900s don't have to do it. And say that. You do it. Just do what he said. Those that hear the Word of God and do it. You know what's going to give you the strength when you go through the storm someday? Doing the Word of God today. That's what's going to do it. You just better be busy doing God's Word right now, because the storm's going to come. And when the storm comes, you'll either stand or you'll fall, depending on what you're doing today with what the Word of God says. There's going to be trials in your life. There's going to be tribulations. You're going to go through some things where somebody else may have fallen. Go through some things where you may fall, unless you get busy doing what God says to do today. He that heareth and doeth. That's the difference. Everybody says, well, it was because one was built on the rock and one was built on the sand. What was building on the rock? Doing the Word of God. That's what he said. That's what building on the rock is, doing what the Word of God says. Well, one was built on the rock and one was built on the sand, and the sand was, because he built on the sand, what was building on the sand? Does it mean one guy was saved and one guy wasn't saved? No. It means one did what the Word of God said and one didn't do what the Word of God said. That's Bible right there. And that's what the Bible's saying. You do it and you'll stand. You don't do it and you'll fall. And I'll show you another verse in just a moment concerning that same thing. Look back then in Proverbs chapter 24. And the next principle goes along with that. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Why is your strength small? Because not doing what the Word of God says. A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. What is the wise man? He's the man that built his house upon the rock by doing what God has said. That's where the strength comes right there. Look down in verse 6. Proverbs chapter 24. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. Now we like this especially today. The psychologists love this verse today, don't they? So you just need some, you get some counsel and everything will be okay. Now what they're talking about counseling is you coming in and them making you feel good, and that's what they call counseling. Let me show you what the Bible calls counseling. Look in Joshua chapter 9. Here's what we ought to do our counseling with. When Joshua and his men signed an ungodly league with the Gideonites, here's why he did it. Look in verse 14. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. That's where we need to get our counsel from, is from the mouth of the Lord. That's what we need. We need what God has said. We don't need man's philosophies. We don't need even a couple verses sprinkled in with man's philosophies. That's a very popular thing to do today too, isn't it? Find a philosophy and then pick a verse that goes with it. And then write a book about it and say it's Christian psychology. No, what we need to do is take the Word of God within the context that God has written it and God has said it and live by this book, not man's philosophies sprinkled in with this book, and not this book sprinkled in with man's philosophies. Take what God has said. That's counsel. Look in Psalms chapter 16. We don't need Christian counselors today. We need some people reading the Bible today. Most of the people who need counseling probably haven't spent 5 minutes in the Word of God today. And it shocks me to know I just read something this week, didn't bring the facts with me. Read something this week about the amount of time that people spend in the Word of God. Amount of time that people spend day, the number of people that even read the Word of God every day, let alone spend some time in the Word of God. And some people will read one verse and put it down. I mean, and that's great if you do that even once a day. If you just get in the Bible every day. And you'd be surprised, probably, at the number of Christians, those that are saved, those that are call themselves saved, the number of Christians that read this book every day of their life. It's amazing. And yet they wonder why they're always having problems and they always need to counsel with somebody. And they're not in this book. And bless the Lord, I don't know how you can make it through the day without spending at least a half hour minimum in this book right here. And at least read 3 or 4 chapters. At least read through the Bible once a year. That's a minimum. That's just where you start, and then build up from there. But I don't know how. And that's why they need counseling. They don't get the counsel from where God intends it. God says, by counsel make your war. Better get the best kind of counsel you can get is get what God has said. Look in Psalms chapter 16, verse 7. It says, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. Where did David get his counsel from? Got it from the Lord. That's where we ought to get our counsel from also. Look in Psalms chapter 73. We read this verse just a little while ago. Verse 24 says, Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. We get our counsel from the Lord. Psalms chapter 33, verse 10 says, The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. You go ahead and listen to man's counsel. You go ahead and get some counsel from the man. You go ahead and get some counsel from the psychologist. And you'll feel good for a while, but it won't stand. That's what the Bible says right there. Their counsel is not going to stand. But you get some counsel from God, it may not feel good, but it'll stand. You may not like it, but it'll stand. You get some counsel from this book right here when you're feeling bad, when you're discouraged, and when things aren't going good. You find out what God says to do, and it may not make you feel real good. You may not get an emotional high from it, but it'll stand. And I'll tell you that right now. God's counsel will stand. You get in this book right here. Learn this book. Study this book. Know this book. Read this book. Spend time in this book. And that's the only counseling you need, is this book right here. Now, I realize there's times when you may not understand the Word of God. You find somebody that's more mature. Find a mature Christian. When Rehoboam, you know the story of Rehoboam, when he became king, he went to the older counselors. And compare that to the spiritual, the mature one spiritually. Went to the older counselors and went to counsel for them and asked them what he ought to do as a new king. And they told him. He didn't like their counsel, so he found those that were his age. And got with them. Say, well, those old fogies, they just don't understand that times have changed. So he got with the young counselors and gathered them together and got their counsel from them. And he said, that sounds good to me. And he got his counsel from the young people, from the young men, from those that were his age, got his counsel from them. And then went out and ruined and lost 10 of the tribes of Israel, taking the counsel of the young men. Division, the 10 northern tribes of Israel left, divided the whole kingdom because he took counsel from the young men. And by the way, you be careful who you counsel with. You be very careful who you talk to. You talk to some young Christian that's not spiritually mature, and you may get the counsel that you like, but it won't stand. You better find somebody that's mature, somebody that's a mature Christian, somebody that knows this book right here, knows the counsels of the Lord. And you better make, when you find your counselors, you better make sure you get a hold of somebody that knows the Word of God. Look in Titus chapter 2. By the way, Bible counsel is not just sharing your feelings. Bible counsel is finding out what the Bible says to do. That's what it's talking about. Counseling is not just telling somebody you feel bad. Counseling is finding out what God says to do. That's what Bible counsel is. Look at Titus chapter 2. Verse 1 it says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience." Why? Verse 6, "Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded." Where should a young man learn? From the aged man. And of course, this is talking about also talking about those that are aged spiritually. Where should the women get their counsel? Let's look in verse 3. "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women." That's Bible. Young lady, you need some counsel? You find a spiritual woman to talk to. "That they may teach them," the young woman, "to be," notice these words, young ladies, "sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." Amazing, the word of God is being blasphemed a lot nowadays, isn't it? Our young ladies are not being taught by the older ladies, and because our young ladies don't want to go to the older ladies to find out. I'm talking about the spiritually mature ladies. Our young ladies think, man, they've been saved for 2 years and they know it all. Many of our young ladies don't know how to be sober, don't know how to love their husbands, don't know how to love their children, don't know how to be discreet, how to be chaste, how to be keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. And that's why the word of God is being blasphemed so much today in our homes. Ladies, you need some counsel, you find a spiritual woman to counsel with. Find a spiritual woman that knows some things from the word of God. And find somebody that studies this book right here. You need some counsel, get some counsel according to the word of God. Do it God's way. That's the way it needs to be done. And many times we think that we just need to share our burdens with the whole world. You can't find that. You share your burdens with Jesus. So you share your burdens with. Be very careful who you share your burdens with. You're going to get some counsel that is not right. It's not Bible. And be careful who you're talking with. Young ladies, don't get all your counsel from those that are your age. It may sound good. It may be what you want to do. But you better find you some spiritual woman to talk to. And that's where you need to get your counsel from. And that's where you can be taught from the word of God. By the way, the Bible also says, wives, if you have questions, ask your husbands. That's what the Bible says. You got some questions? Ask your husbands. So my husband doesn't know. Bless God, try him. It's Bible. You'd be surprised what God can give him at the time. And that's what we need to do. We need to get back to doing it the Bible way again. We don't need hero worship. We don't need preacher worship. We need Jesus worship. That's what we need today. We need to get back to Bible way of doing things. Counsel with what the Lord said. Get in this book right here. And if you're saved, you can understand it. You can find it. You need to find out what the Bible says. So what? Get some wise. Simply this: get wise counsel. Wise counsel means from the Word of God and from those that are spiritually mature, that know where to find what you're looking for in this book right here. Get wise counsel. Or I look back in Proverbs chapter 24. Several more things I'll just give them to you very quickly. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16. Bible says, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." The just man falleth. You may fall down, but just don't stay down. You may have some failures, but failure isn't failure unless it's the last chapter. That's when it becomes failure. You just keep on getting up. If every child, when they learn how to walk, falls down after the first step, one that I ever knew, they don't take off running the first step. They'll fall down. And if they don't get back up again, they'll never learn how to walk. How do you think you're going to learn how to walk as a Christian? How do you think you're going to learn how to walk spiritually? You're going to fall down. Bless God, get back up again. You're going to have some adversity. Get back up again. You're going to have some trials. Get back up again. You're going to get discouraged. Get back up again. Just don't quit. Don't quit. That's what the Bible's saying right there when it says, if thy faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If you fall down, the just man's going to get back up again. So, preacher, I'm discouraged. Well, that's fine, but get back up. Well, preacher, I'm going through some trials. Well, that's fine, but get back up. That's where you're going to get your strength at. Just keep on going. Just don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. If you can just learn that, just say, bless God, whatever comes in my life, it may not be going good, but I'm just going to hang on to the Word of God and just don't quit. I'm just going to grab onto this blessed book and keep my eyes on Jesus and just don't quit. You may have some trials that come into your life that would, and may look like it's going to devastate you, and it may look like there's no way out, but if you just hang on to this book right here, if you've got the truth, you won't have to worry. Well, look back in Isaiah chapter 25. This verse just came to mind, and it goes back to, I'll just tie this in with the last verse there. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 1. So the Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt thee, I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Now notice God's counsel. Thy counsels of old are. You ought to mark this book right here. You got some troubles? Here's what your counsel is. Faithfulness and truth. Faithfulness and truth. You know what that means? That means if you're doing right and trials come in, just keep doing right. Just stay faithful. Faithfulness, faithfulness, faithfulness. Many folks say, well, I'm going through a trial now. What should I do? Just keep doing right. Just keep doing it. Well, it seems like I'm going through these things and I'm doing what the Bible says to do, and it seems like I've got a greater trial now than ever before. What should I do? Faithfulness and truth. Faithfulness and truth. You get a hold of this blessed book right here, get some truth, and just stick with it. You stick with it when you're in the valley and stick with it on the mountain. Stick with it in the tunnel and stick with it when you see the light at the end of the tunnel. Stick with it when it's midnight and stick with it in the noonday. Just stick with it. Faithfulness and truth. Faithfulness and truth. So, preacher, it didn't work. Just stick with it. Faithfulness and truth. Preacher, I tried tithing for 3 weeks, and I'm in financial bondage. If it's right, stick with it. Stick with it. Stick with it. Stick with it. Faithfulness and truth. Preacher, I went soul winning for 6 months and didn't see anybody saved. If it's right, just keep doing it. Faithfulness and truth. Faithfulness and truth. Preacher, I went to church for a year, and my kids still are disobedient. Stick with it. Faithfulness and truth. Faithfulness and truth. You grab a hold of the truth of this book right here and just keep on doing it. Just find a truth right here and just be faithful at it. That word faithfulness there also means to stand, means consistency, means to just keep on doing it and never fall. Just stick with it. Faithfulness and truth. If you've got a truth, you just stick with that truth. Say, well, it's not working. You just stick with it anyway. It will eventually. You just stay with it. Whatever it may be. It may not work the first time, but you stick with it. Say, preacher, I prayed and prayed and prayed and didn't get my prayers answered. Stick with it. If praying's right, keep doing it. Just keep with it. Well, I prayed once and I didn't get my prayers answered. You just keep on praying and keep on praying and keep on praying. If you never get your prayers answered, it's right to pray. If you never get anything from this book, it's right to read it. If you never get anything out of church, it's good to be there. It's right to be there. If you don't ever win somebody to Jesus, it's right to go. You just go. That's the commandment. The commandment isn't to win them. The commandment is to go. God's the only one who can win them. Just do it. If it's right to do it, do it. Stick with it. Faithfulness, 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 faithfulness. And everybody's trying this. But well, if this works, I'll try to do it. Well, this guy doesn't matter whether it works or not. Do it if God said to do it. Don't try things out and find out what fits best. Just do it. God said, if it doesn't fit, do it. God says it. Faithfulness and truth. That's the counsel we need today. We need the counsel of just doing what's right to do and just stick with it when you're going through a hard time. Just stick with it. Faithfulness, truth, faithfulness, truth. And that's where we'll get the strength and that's where God will bless us. And simply I got written down here, don't quit. Just don't quit. Make up your mind, don't quit. Just hang on and for dear life and say, God, I'm just keep me going. I'm not going to quit. So if you got a blessing in store, you know, if you don't have a blessing in store, I'm going to not quit. Just stay with it. If it's Bible, if it's truth, then don't quit. If it's not true, quit it. If it is true, don't quit. Faithfulness and truth. All right, let's look back in Proverbs chapter 24 and look at verse 17. Verse 17 says, "Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and not let thine heart be glad when he stumbleth." Don't rejoice when your enemy falls. Don't rejoice when your enemy falls. You see, we got many times we see some preacher, man, and he may not agree with us, and that preacher falls, and we rejoice, man. We throw a party over it. Ought to weep over it. Pray he gets right with the Lord through it. Pray that something good comes from it. Some church is doing bad just because they don't believe everything we believe, and we throw a party. Don't rejoice in it. Let God do his work in their lives and do what he needs. If they need to be chastened, let them chasten them. But don't rejoice in it. I've heard folks say, "Well, that wicked drunkard, he deserves to go to hell." And so do we. Every one of us deserve to be in hell. We don't rejoice. Don't ever get to the point where you rejoice because some wicked sinner went to hell. Nobody. We don't want to see anybody go to hell. What we're trying to do is get out. I don't care how wicked or ungodly they are. We don't want them going to hell. We don't rejoice when they fall. Look in verse 21. "My son, fear the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change." We talked a little bit about this last time. Just stick with the principles of the past. Stick with the principles of the past. Don't be in such a hurry to change from the old way, from the old landmarks. Don't even fool with those that change, the Bible says. Don't even meddle with those that change. If it was right in the past, it's still right today. Don't change, and don't even mess with those that do change. And many times if you wonder about it, check out what the great men of the past said about it. And don't change, and don't even hang around with those that do change. Stick with the old principles of the Word of God. Same principle that have been preached for thousands of years. We don't need any new doctrines today. Enough of them running around already. We just need to stick with the same old ones that have always been preached. Don't hang around with those that change. Got some new preaching going on and new philosophies and new doctrines. Just stick with the old stuff. Don't even fool with those that change. It hasn't been preached by R.A. Torrey and D.L. Moody. It's probably not Bible. Just stick with the old stuff. And don't meddle with those that change. Look in verse 24. "He that saith unto the wicked, Thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, nations and shall abhor him." Don't call the wicked righteous. Got a lot of that going on today too. We uphold those that are wicked, call them righteous. Don't call the wicked righteous. And then verse 27, "Prepare thy work without, make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house." Simply this, verse 27, prepare, prepare, prepare. Prepare for everything. Prepare for living. Prepare. Prepare your life. Be ready. Plan. Look ahead. Prepare. And those are some principles from Proverbs chapter 24. And let's pray. Lord, bless now tonight, I pray, these things that we've seen from your word. Help us to learn some new ways of serving you, the ways that you've given us in the word of God, to have wisdom and skill in living. In this day we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.